For several years now, we've been following devolution of certain welfare powers to the Scottish Parliament from Westminster. And we've spoken in the past with the Social Security Minister, Jean Freeman, about some of the proposed changes, especially around personal independence payments. Well, we thought it was time for a bit of a catch-up to see where the changes are at the moment, the rollout of the new system, and indeed look at personal independence payments. Well, we have with us Shirley-Ann Somerville, who is the new Social Security Secretary. Shirley-Ann, thank you very much for joining us, and congratulations on the new post.
Thank you very much for having me.
So the system itself, this is quite new for the Scottish Parliament, but we're not talking all welfare payments here. There's only a certain percentage.
That's right. Our new Social Security Agency, Social Security Scotland, is only a month old. It's delivering its first payments at the moment, and that's the Carers Allowance Supplement. But once we've seen the devolution of the benefits to Scotland, we're still only getting 15% of those up to the Scottish Parliament to have control over. And the rest, including very important ones such as Universal Credit, it will still be reserved to Westminster.
Now, something we've found quite interesting since prior to the launch of Social Security Scotland is that a lot of consultation has been done with members of the public, people who are in receipt of many welfare payments, to create the new system.
One of the very important aspects of this work is that it's got to be designed with people rather than for people. And that's why the experience panels that we have, that's made up of around just under 2,500 people with lived experience of the current system, really are the heart and soul of what we're doing. So everything that we're going through is tested and designed with those people in mind, and they're actually doing the designing, whether that's the application forms, whether it's what type of system that they want to see, whether it's about what does social security mean to them, what does dignity and respect mean to them, which is at the heart of everything that we do. So those experience panels and the people with lived experience are the ones who are in effect designing our system, because it's not my system, it's not the Scottish Government system, not even the Scottish Parliament system, but it's for the people of Scotland. So it's only right that they're the ones that are designing it rather than politicians and civil servants.
And in terms of that design, many of our listeners are blind or partially sighted, and they're interested in how accessible things like websites will be, accessible formats for information, completing forms and so on. Is that also being taken into consideration?
Very much so. It's integral to the Social Security Act that was passed through Parliament that we look at inclusive communications. And I suppose where the Scottish Government's coming from on this is we're not just here to do minimum standards when it comes to inclusive communications. I want the Social Security Scotland and everything that we do to be a gold standard from what people should expect from a public service. And that again, therefore, goes back to it actually being designed with people who have experience of the current system. And I know there are many people who face barriers trying to access support, guidance, information, being able to fill in the application process, not feeling supported during that. All of that's got to change, and such an important part of that is about our inclusive communication. So we'll try and test this as we go along, and if there's ways to continuously improve, then we'll look to that too.
Now, this is a big piece of work, if you like, to create the Social Security Scotland department and running all the payments, the IT and so on. So, I mean, I imagine you're expecting some bumps on the road anyway, but how will you monitor that feedback and evaluate the progress?
Well, this is the delivery of the largest public service devolution that we've had since the Scottish Parliament came into existence. So that's a heavy responsibility that's on my shoulders and off the agencies. But what an amazing opportunity to do things, not just a little bit differently from the current system, but to ensure that we're designing the new system completely differently from scratch. But it is important that we do keep an eye on how we're doing. One of the aspects of that will be the Social Security Charter, which again is being co-designed by our experience panels and by the core group within them. So they'll look at what dignity and respect will mean to every individual that's going through that process, and then that can be tested by our independent commission that's going to be set up at the start of next year to ensure that we are delivering on what we have promised to do. So whether it's the agency looking at how it will deliver particular benefits, whether it's the government's commitment to deliver a system that is based on dignity and respect, there'll be continuous checks and balances to ensure that we're getting this right. But I think also importantly, I am open to learn how we can continuously improve. We're not just setting up this system and then walking away and thinking that's the job done, but we're constantly wanting to learn and refresh, both from our staff who are working within the agency, but also importantly from the people who are receiving that service. And we're already receiving suggestions coming in to the agency about what we can improve on, and that's something that I really want to encourage.
Now, one of the major payments which will be devolved is personal independence payment. Now, that's across the UK at the moment, formerly disability living allowance. Now, there's been a lot of controversy over the years about things like the assessment process, appeals, you know, using PIP for motability support as well. What kind of things have you had to take into consideration then with this particular payment?
I know that DLA and PIP is one of those critical aspects of the system which currently people have absolutely no trust in. They talk about getting caught out by the system, about having to fight the system, which is completely not what we want to have. We want a system where people can trust that they'll be supported during that process. So one of the important aspects is to ensure that we use the information that's already available about an individual rather than a face-to-face assessment. So we want to dramatically reduce the number of face-to-face assessments that are there. Now, if the agency can't access all the information required, then there will have to be a face-to-face assessment. But the important aspect is that it won't be delivered by a private sector provider. I'm wanting a system that is a genuine public service, and that means it will be delivered by the Social Security Agency that has no targets on how many people to fail to ensure that that's some sort of idea that they're doing their job correctly. So this will be based on what the individual needs as they're going through that process. Now, of course, there's also a right to a redetermination and a right to an appeal if people want it, but we need to get that right at the start, because the reason there's so many appeals just now under the DWP system, the reason that those appeals are in the large successful is because they didn't make the decision right in the first place. So we need to get that information right. We need to use the face-to-face assessments only when absolutely required, and do so in a way that people feel supported during that process by public service provision.
So in terms of the assessments, one of the main anger points, if you like, was that people felt they were being assessed by people who didn't understand their disability, that this was a private company doing this, and that's led to a great many, as you say, of appeals, and those appeals becoming successful. So will people be confident that if they do have an assessment, it will be a medical professional who understands their disability or their impairment?
Absolutely. And that's one of the aspects which the Expert Advisory Group on Disability and Carer Benefits is looking to provide advice for me on by the end of the year. What is a suitably qualified assessor? That term's in our Social Security Act. But the Expert Advisory Group will advise me on what that should look like and who that should be. And importantly, to ensure that the people who are assessing an individual going through this really do understand a person's disability or condition. Only if we have that can we have a system that people can have trust in. And if we don't have trust in the system, then I haven't done my job. The Scottish Government hasn't done their job. So it's so important that we can ensure that we're delivering something that people can have genuine trust in from day one.
Regular assessments as well. I mean, if someone has a condition which is not something which will improve over time, will they be exempt, if you like, from having further assessments as they are now?
Well, I'm very keen to get the advisory group to also look at that. And again, they'll be reporting back to me by the end of the year. And really where I'm coming from, where the government's coming from on this, is to ensure that this process is not a cumbersome one for the individual. We shouldn't be asking people to provide information again and again and again and effectively jumping through hoops to get a payment to which they are entitled and to which we should see the system supporting them. So I'll wait to see what the expert advisory group comes back with for the recommendations on the details of that. But the principle of what we're trying to achieve is to ensure that we have a system that actually works for the person that's going through it, rather than, as I say, it really is just now there to provide barriers for people to be able to access what they are eligible to, what they're entitled to, and which we should be encouraging people to actually fill in applications and get on board in the first place. And then we should respect the fact that they've done so and not bother people when there's no need to do so.
And what about the appeals process then? Will that differ from the current system?
Absolutely. So we have, in effect, the first step, which is a redetermination, which will be a separate team sitting within Social Security Scotland. And I had the pleasure of meeting some of that team in their Glasgow offices. And they will look afresh at the application and they will take a decision which is separate to the initial decision. And that's important because it ensures that we're having a fresh look. Now, while that's going on, there'll be no change to an individual's benefits. So nobody will be put off by asking for a redetermination or an appeal because they're worried about losing money. So that's protected. When the appeals process goes through, it's again important that people understand that and encouraged to take up that appeal if they still don't like the redetermination decision. And that's a process that, again, they have to feel supported in. That's why the agency will have the responsibility to provide the information for an appeal and will assist a person in giving them a form for them to be able to complete and gathering the case together, rather than that burden being on the individual. So every step of this process is designed to ensure that people take up their rights and are supported in that process by the agency.
It is the start of a long journey. It's quite a large undertaking, as you said, Shirley-Anne. In terms of personal independence payment then, do you have an idea when that will come under the control of the Scottish Government and when those payments could be rolled out?
Well, they roll out and will be staged over time, and that's important because we have to ensure that there's a safe and secure transition of the payments. Nothing would make me more satisfied than to actually get this process to work faster, but I need to ensure that there's a safe and secure transition as my top priority. The legislative competence of all the benefits, including DLE PIP, will come to the Scottish Parliament by the end of this parliamentary term. And I appreciate that that means that people will be going through a system which is not supportive and which many people suffer a great deal of stress and anxiety about. And I'm genuinely sorry that we can't speed that process up, but I need to ensure that there's a safe and secure transition, because the last thing that I can do and that the agency can do is do something which will be detrimental to people getting their payments at the right time.
We will keep our listeners up to date on the progress of the new Social Security Scotland agency, but for the moment to Shirley-Anne Somerville, MSP, thank you for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.